Welcome to The Paleo View. I'm Stacey Toth, best-selling author and co-creator of PaleoParents.com, where we focus on real-life solutions for families seeking health.
I'm Dr. Sarah Ballantyne, New York Times best-selling author and creator of ThePaleoMom.com. I'm passionate about improving scientific literacy around public health topics.
I like hashtags and bone broth.
And I'm just a super nerd.
Hey, listeners, welcome back to The Paleo View. Shockingly, I am also welcoming you, Sarah. How is Paleo FX? Welcome back.
It was awesome, as you can probably tell from my, like, croaky good morning voice that actually this voice comes just from, like, wearing my voice out, and I've been home for 2 days already. So this is actually a vast improvement over yesterday. And it literally just, I talked to people until I lost my voice. Like, it was just only voice strain that is causing all of this amazing action that you're hearing right now. And the occasional crack of my voice, which is also super fun. I feel fine. So it feels fun to play with, but it was amazing. And I have to say, like, right off the bat, I think we have more than 6 male listeners.
Did you meet one or two?
I met so many. It was so wonderful. So, and female listeners as well. So I just have to, first off the top of the bat of the show, just thank all of you for coming and finding me at the Strength in Food booth and sharing your stories with me. And just, like, it was, you know, we said this on the show, I think a few weeks ago, as we were sort of talking about going to PaleoFX, that meeting our listeners, like, that's always the most, it's the most fun of all the people we get to meet, because you guys, I'm talking to you listeners now, you're so engaged and you know us so well because you've been listening to our, trials and tribulations for, almost 6 years now. It's kind of like part of being an extended family, even though sometimes we're meeting you for the first time at these events. And, you know, sure enough, at PaleoFX, I mean, for me, the theme of PaleoFX was just connection. I just went from amazing conversation to amazing conversation for 4 straight days, which, again, hence the awesome sounding voice. But there's this, like, special thing that happens every time I get to meet a podcast listener. And I just want to thank everyone who came out to, there was actually some podcast listeners at Health Entrepreneurs FX and also many at PaleoFX. And just thanks for finding me and coming to say hi and share your stories and share how much this podcast has meant to you in your lives. And that's a really wonderful thing for me to hear. And now I get to report back to Stacey. Guess what? Turns out people love us and we're making a difference.
Oh, I love hearing about it. And I haven't been to PaleoFX in a couple of years just because it's not really my thing anymore. Not that I don't love all of you guys. And I remember really enjoying going to Austin and seeing all of our friends and all that kind of stuff. I just had to take a break, as I've talked about, and do more family time and all that kind of stuff. So I love living vicariously through you when you get to do all of these things.
I have to say, I mean, and this is, you know, one of the reasons why our podcast works is because we're not the same. We're not clones of each other. We get along super well, but we actually, you know, have different interests and, different lives. And I felt this PaleoFX was, like, more my thing than any previous PaleoFX. Like, it just feels like it's jiving with me more and more every year, which is a kind of a fun feeling. I just, I really did get to go from, you know, it amazing conversation to me, like, really literally not a break for 4, which is, again, super excellent voice I've got going. But it was amazing. So I had some amazing, potential new collaborations come out of it. And obviously I won't be able to share anything until those are projects that are well underway. But I'm really excited about some of the opportunities that I was afforded through that connection. I was able to do a lot of mentorship through the Health Entrepreneurs event, which is a satellite event from PaleoFX that's designed for entrepreneurs in the health and wellness space. And it both sort of incorporates an aspect of experts in this sphere sort of sharing our hard-earned knowledge and a sort of a mentorship aspect, but also just a supportive network. So it really is about helping to grow this entire community as a whole, and rather than seeing each other as competitors in whatever markets we're trying to cater to see each other as colleagues and realize that supporting each other is the best thing that we can do to better serve this community and also spread this message. So it's a wonderful, amazing event to be at, and I was honored to be asked to speak again this year. I spoke about work-life. My talk was actually called the Myth of Work-Life Balance, which was really just me trying to grab people's attention, because what I talked about was how a lot of us attempt work-life balance by, you know, we work a lot, so we attempt work-life balance by adding a lot of life, right? We add a lot of, I'm going to keep working as much as I'm working, but I'm going to add all this family time, and I'm going to get together with my friends more, and I'm going to do all of these extra, you know, hobby things that I've been wanting to do. And we end up spreading ourselves even thinner than if we did what we're actually supposed to do, which is like self-care. So what I tried to do was like shift what people think work-life balance is into more, this is about self-care. And I had a bunch of statistics coming from performance and productivity research, which was really fun for me to look up. And I will probably try to do like a homemade version of this talk, because I don't think it was filmed, to be able to share online with my slides and everything. But to really like go through all of this research showing how your cognition and memory and problem solving abilities and collaborative capacity, teamworking capacity, creativity, how that all declines when you haven't had enough sleep. And there's actually some really interesting statistics showing that as much as like a 30-minute sleep deficit can impact your cognitive performance, which like really emphasizes if you're an entrepreneur in the space, and I mean, you're trying to, you know, launch a business and market to, you know, a specific group of people. You want them to know about your message. You need to be on point, you know, mentally. Like you really do need to be, you need to have everything aligned. And so getting enough sleep is like one of the best things you can do for your productivity. So you'll get more done per amount of time, you'll be more efficient. And then you can say the exact same thing about exercise, although in that regard, the research really shows that there's a small effect from acute exercise. So there's a small effect from, you know, oh, my brain's really foggy, I'm going to go out, you know, for a brisk walk and then come back and I'll feel better. And that there certainly is a measurable effect. But the bigger effect is just from regular exercise. So just being a person who does, you know, have an active lifestyle, that improves cognition. So why it's important to make time for some kind of activity every day. And then the stress research is really interesting because, you know, acute stress actually clarifies the brain, right? So you can think of evolutionarily speaking, a lion is suddenly there. You want to be able to do really excellent decision-making in that situation, but then chronic stress dulls decision-making, inhibits memory, makes you a very bad multitasker. So you really lose the ability to switch between tasks really quickly. So dealing with chronic stress becomes really important. So my talk for the entrepreneurs was really a pitch to practice self-care with lifestyle. I kind of assumed that everybody there had their diets pretty dialed in, so I didn't address diet, but it was really about, you know, making sure that we do these other things that help us be better. Like we're better at our jobs when we've taken the time. And, you know, fair warning, there's an adjustment period. So if any listeners, whether or not you're an entrepreneur, you know, we've talked about exercise, sleep, and stress management on the show approximately a bajillion times. But if you're listening and suddenly this argument is actually making go, oh, maybe I really should. Like maybe the lifelong health risks wasn't quite as motivating as I will perform better. There's, by the way, physical performance improvements with all of these things as well. So cognitive performance and physical performance tend to go hand in hand. So if that is more of a immediate motivator for dialing in any lifestyle aspects that still need tweaking for your life, then know that there is a bit of a lag time between when you start making these changes and when you really see the improvement in performance. So it takes a while to pay off a sleep debt. It takes a while for your resilience to stress to really improve once you start working on stress management. It takes a while to develop that level of physical fitness that actually translates to improved cognition. So do know that you're probably looking at a few weeks. My experience is typically that it's about 2 weeks, but it's going to vary for other people, where at first it feels like you're taking all this extra time away from work to do all these other things, to sleep, to go to the gym, to practice resilience activities like meditation or nature walks or laughter time or cuddling. And you feel like you feel that same kind of spread thin as you do when you're trying the old fashioned work life balance where you just work hard, play hard. So it takes a little dedication to kind of get over that hump. And then all of a sudden you notice, oh, like I just got way more done in an hour than I ever used to. And so do know that there's a bit of lag time between when you start to prioritize lifestyle and when you really see that improvement in cognition, just because most of us are working in a state where we really need to address a lot of the lifestyle factors in order to optimize performance and productivity. So this is sort of like a bit of a warning, but it's a fun and very, I think, different way of approaching the importance of these lifestyle factors and motivating in a different way than what we usually talk about, which is health risks, because it's much more about, success and achieving goals. And that for a lot of people resonates better than something that seems very, very distant and down the road. So that was a really fun talk. And I had a lot of people tell me afterwards how much they appreciated that message. And of course, was no surprise to me because as also an entrepreneur in this space, although I consider myself sort of an accidental entrepreneur, I've also gone through the ringer in terms of trying to understand how to balance this with being a mom and a wife and having, four autoimmune diseases and requiring certain diet and lifestyle aspects to be dialed in order to maintain my health. So I totally understand that balance. And I've worked really hard to be in a place where I have a more resilient body and brain so that I can do things like go to a conference and have four incredibly intense long days and, still be somewhat okay at the other side, which I'm knocking on wood right now. Just hear it. Here we go. But yeah, so that was how we started the conference, was a 14-hour day doing the Health Entrepreneurs event. And then PaleoFX was I spent the entire time on the floor. They had a VIP lounge for all of the speakers to hang out and recharge that I never even saw because I spent the entire time talking with people. I met some great new vendors who are doing some really cool stuff in this space. So I'll be talking about them more on my website in the upcoming months as we sort of develop relationships and I have some opportunity to research what they're doing in a little bit more depth, which because I always like to vet everything and try everything personally for a while before I share about whether or not I'm in love with them. And I also just got to meet just tons of people. Like that is the highlight, and that's why I go to these conferences. But I loved it. And then it's like nothing I was doing was filmed. My talk Sunday afternoon was not filmed. I know, I was so sad because it was such a good talk. Like I was so in the zone. And we had at one point in the talk where there was, because I was on the the on-ramp stage was just on the vendor floor. And I've been catering my talks to the on-ramp stage the last couple of years because people who just get an exhibit pass can still see it. It used to be the stage that was live streamed, and it wasn't this year. They just switched it on me. I didn't know that. So then more people outside of the conference could see it. And so I've always liked being able to be on the on-ramp stage just because it's the most accessible stage, right? There's a lot more people who get to see it because you can get just the exhibitor tickets and you can see it if you don't come to the event at all. And this year, not only was it not the live stream stage, they didn't even film that stage, but we had this one moment. So I had this, it was standing room only, which made me feel really great. And there was some people just started like singing at the other end of the exhibit floor. And it was like really kind of strange, like this like opera at the other end. And then some people just like were cheering for the whatever opera singers were like randomly broke out in a song. And so I turned to my audience and I said, you know, you guys can cheer for me like that too, which was, you know, just me being tongue in cheek. But then they all cheered. And it was just one of those, you know how like cheering just makes you feel good? Like there's like just like laughing or smiling will make you feel good, like dancing, cheering, right? There are certain things that just inherently make everyone feel amazing. So it just like totally like brought the energy of my entire talk up because the audience's energy just like exploded in that moment. And then that was all she wrote. I just like knocked it out of the park after that. I actually had a couple people afterwards, and this is just one of, I feel like I don't know how many talks you've seen, but they literally said that I was the most entertaining and engaging speaker they'd ever seen, which is such a deep, deep honor because it's something that I work very hard at my public speaking skills. And so I felt just really appreciative and honored to receive that kind of just such enthusiastic feedback. But then I also was like, have you ever like watched TED Talks online? Cause those guys are pretty awesome usually, but yeah, so it was, I mean, I know I'm like talking a mile a minute about how amazing the conference was, but I really loved every minute of it. I got to meet, some new influencers like, Dr. Joe McCullough and JJ Virgin, and they're both amazing people. I got to meet new-ish people in the functional medicine sphere, like Dr. Vincent Pedre, Dr. Ann Shippey. I got to meet Dr. Ben Lynch. So like, it was just like, there was just like, it was expanding and I think PaleoFX does a really good job every year of sort of bringing in people in tangential areas, sort of alternative health, that have very compatible philosophies, but maybe aren't part of this like core paleo thought leaders group. And so getting to meet them and, you know, being already familiar with their work, that was just really cool to be able to connect with a broader group of thought leaders and influencers. So it was wonderful, and I'm exhausted because I did not practice good self-care after talking about it on the first day while I was there. I didn't take a break. Most days I barely got any food until the evening. I did not get enough sleep. Stacey, you'll be proud of me. I drank quite a bit of alcohol.
When you told me earlier, I did a little like, woo, woo, raise the roof. Although I talk a good game. I was just messaging someone because I myself am traveling out for a conference like at the butt crack of dawn tomorrow morning. And we were both chatting about how exhausted we were. She was like, oh, I'm going to get a Bloody Mary at the airport. And I said, I don't drink on days that I fly. So as much as I talk a good game, like, I actually don't.
I drank a lot at the conference, but I did not drink either of the days I actually traveled.
Yeah. So this, I know, if I don't explain this, I'm going to get a lot of questions about it. I have just learned that my body does not do well with like air pressure changes and everything else that's happening with flying, and adding on the detox requirements of consumption of alcohol. Like, it's just, I don't know what that mechanism is. I can't help you figure it out if it works for you. I have learned, because I've done so much flying in the last couple of years, that I do so much better if I don't have alcohol on days that I fly. So I do and will enjoy martinis. That's my new favorite beverage. And P.S. I get the olives without pimentos because I'm still a nightshade free girl. But I'll have those, like I'm sure you did, on the days that, you know, will work for me. And then drink lots and lots of water on the days that I fly, as well as I have epic beef liver bites and stuff like that in my bag because I'm a nutrient dweeb like that, as we all are.
I was really lucky that Dry Farm Wines catered all of the events, all of the parties. I like, they're called events, right? Let's just call them what they are, the parties, in the evening that I went to, like the speaker's dinner and the soiree on the first night that the Health Entrepreneurs event morphed into. And I don't know if you're familiar with what they do. I'm giving them obviously like a free plug here, but their whole thing is that they seek out wines from various parts of the world that are, you know, there have to be a low carbohydrate, so they don't have a lot of sugars in them other than the alcohol, but they're low alcohol, they're low sulfite. I can't remember what other, they have like a whole, like eight different things that they look for. And so their wine that, it just doesn't, like, it doesn't wreck you the way like a normal cheap bottle of wine from the store, typically does. And so that was like a real saving grace. But talking about like why not drinking on travel days, this is one of the things that I've started talking about lately at my local gym, because it's something I don't think that a lot of people realize, is that there's different forms of stressors. So there's like psychological stressors like traffic and deadlines and, you know, snotty teenagers. And then there's chemical stressors like tobacco, like alcohol, like environmental exposures. There is physical stressors like sitting all day, which you are doing on an airplane, but also, you know, workouts would be a physical stressor. Non-ergonomic, you know, chairs and keyboards and things would be a physical stressor. And those stresses are additive. So the body doesn't actually tell the difference between them. So we think about stress as just being the psychological stuff, but it's additive on top of a chemical stressor like alcohol and a physical stressor like sitting all day. Environmental stressors also are things like noise, crowds, bright lights, or really dim rooms. Like, and you're getting all of those types of environmental stressors in an airport, an airplane as well. Strangers are an environmental stressor. So you end up compounding like multiple types of stressors. And so what happens is your stress response skyrockets, which makes your ability to do things like fight infection really low, which is why people get sick after a day of traveling. That's so common. It also doesn't help that those environments do, like, you're around so many people that if something's going around, chances of you being exposed to that infectious agent are really high. So it's one of the things that I've been talking about with a couple of women at my gym who also sort of struggle with autoimmune disease. And when things get stressful around the holidays or whatever, they find, you know, like I do, that I really have to pull back the intensity of my workouts to compensate because my psychological stress is getting higher. Therefore, I can't put as much physical stress on my body. So you, Stacey, have sort of intuitively figured out that adding this chemical stressor to the mix of all of these other stressors on a travel day is like that one thing too many that like tips the cart. But I just kind of wanted to, you know, got to bring some science, even if it's just a,
I'm glad you were there. And just for the record, I didn't give you a heads up about it. And we didn't even pause for you to Google. You just had the science.
Oh yeah. That is in my head at all times. to be fair, so is probably 95% of the stuff that we actually talk about. But that's an overestimate. I do prepare for our science-y shows. I don't know what percent of the stuff that you put me on the spot of is in my head or not.
So speaking of, I'm super jazzed about the science show of what I asked you to talk about for next week.
Oh, is that next week that you've given me this deadline now?
Well, okay. Can it be?
You can try.
because I've already gotten several requests from people about the show. And when I told them that we were going to record it soon, I got a lot of jazz hands back. So listen, guys, let's put the pressure on Sarah.
I just want to say that soon in podcast world is typically, I consider it a 3-month window. So
not
soon
when the request comes from me. This is not a listener question. Mine gets prioritized at the top of the list.
We do have a couple of other listener questions that I also think are really fascinating that I want to get to in the not too distant future. But I suppose they could be bumped a week for the sake of cool science, of which I currently know nothing and will have to dig into the reading for like 3 or 4 hours before I know enough to actually sound like I have anything to say in a podcast. But that's fine.
And totally falls into one of the two categories that you claimed that I always choose. I think it was last week on the Baby Wipes episode. You said to me that I always only choose one of two things. One, debunking woo-woo stuff. Or two, hey, check out this cool science-y thing. And so, listeners, you're going to have to guess which bucket of category this falls under.
Well, we recently did a check out this cool science-y thing. Yep. So it's time to balance that one out.
Definitely. So, Sarah, I know that you must be exhausted after all of the awesomeness that you've had going on the last few days. And I believe I summoned you from a nap in order to record this podcast. So true. Given that we're going to have an awesome show in the very near future and that I too am preparing for travel myself, we are going to call this a show. I know normally we have a specific topic or answer a question for you guys, but we like our check-in shows to at least offer some sort of interest for you. So I really enjoyed hearing about your self-care talk. You know that that's topic near and dear to my heart. So I love that you tackled the science of it, especially to us type A entrepreneurs who need the reminder pretty, I'm not going to say more than anybody, but at least just as much as anybody. So thank you for recapping that. I look forward to seeing with whatever you pulled together to share with everyone who missed all your talks. And anything else you want to tell people before we jump into the time warp of next week when we'll be back with all kinds of new updates in science?
While I still have some voice, I think it's like progressively getting worse and worse and worse the more I talk on this episode. Can you tell? It's like getting deeper and deeper.
You know I love me a Fleetwood Mac voice.
Right. Well, here you go. Enjoy it now. Hopefully I will have recovered by next week.
It goes with my Stevie Nicks wardrobe.
No, I'm in self-care week now because I didn't practice the same boundaries while I was away at this conference as I normally have in my normal life. So I'm taking the week easy. I specifically made sure that my schedule was fairly flexible and I didn't have a lot of, you know, interviews or deadlines this week. And so just so everyone knows, like, as much as I talked about, like, just working way too hard over the conference, that I believe I kept it reined in enough that I'm going to recover and I'm going to bounce back really quickly. I did get 10 and a half hours sleep last night. So I can't quite, it's a little bit too late to get quite that now, but I am going to go straight to bed. I think I want to just encourage our listeners who have maybe been thinking about this conference to, like, you know, block it off. They haven't exactly, I don't think they've exactly announced the dates for next year. But they're typically towards the end of April. They've done a couple in May, but I think they've decided to pull back to April dates. And it's a wonderful event and I get a lot out of it every year. And I think it's really like an overwhelming amount of material for a lot of people. They do have a live stream service that you can sign up for. You can see all of the talks that were on the keynote stage, both of the panels that I was on. I was on the State of the Paleo Union panel with Mark Sisson, Rob Wolf, Chris Kresser, Joe Mercola, and JJ Virgin, during which Michelle Norris, one of the co-organizers of the conference and the CEO of PaleoFX, put me on the spot and asked about ketogenic diets. So there's an excellent me disagreeing with Rob and Chris and Mark and Joe on this panel. So that was awesome. But with some really good science. So I handled the situation very well. And I am actually in the middle of putting together some more blog posts about some of the new keto research that actually shows it's an even worse idea than I thought it was a few years ago. So look out for that. It's probably a few weeks away, but I'm going to try and wrap that up soon. And then the other panel I was on was a gut microbiome panel with Vincent and Bill, who I just mentioned, and Anne Shippey, who I just mentioned, and also was David Perlmutter and Chris Kresser and myself was on that panel. So it was another sort of star-studded panel. So those were the things that I did on the keynote stage. My talk was not filmed and not on the keynote stage, but you can sort of sign up. I don't know how much it costs, but we can make sure that we put links in the show notes to sign up for streaming if you want to sort of check out some of the talks and some of the panels and see if maybe it's a good fit for an event for you. But I find it to be a very dynamic, potentially overwhelming with the amount of content event every single year. And I highly recommend, if it's something you've been thinking about, going next year. I'm already committed to going next year. So I will be there. So and looking forward again to meeting more of our definitely more than six listeners.
Awesome. Well, I have been to PaleoFX and highly recommend it, even though it's not my bag anymore. While it was my bag, it was awesome. And I know that the people and going for just that vendor floor is amazing to meet so many people and seeing so many new products. And I love following along on Instagram and seeing what people are sharing so that I can, you know, start tracking when those things are going to be available to the public.
This was the year of the biohack. Like, there were so many different home fitness equipment that like makes your workouts way more efficient, or I know that I'm a big fan of the Juve, but this was there was a lot of different sort of wavelengths, photobiomodulation type devices that achieved different goals. Like, one was for meditation. There was a chair that had some kind of like electric current that went low level electric current that went through your body to energize you. Like, I don't know that I haven't looked up the science and all of these things. I'm just sort of reporting the type of stuff that was there. That was sort of like there was all the, like the normal, like a lot of our favorite vendors. And then, probiotic foods. That was the other big highlight in terms of the vendor floor this year. So it's really neat to see how, you know, what kind of new things are coming. And so again, I second your recommendation of the vendor floor.
Awesome. Well, thank you for stopping in, everybody. And as always, we'll be back again next week. Look forward to chatting with you again soon.
Hopefully with a voice.
Thank you for listening to the Paleo View. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes. You can also support us by shopping for our favorite paleo products on the sidebars of our individual websites or by donating through PayPal.
See, I'm tired and my brain's not working.